Ezekiel chapter number 1, and we'll begin reading in verse 1. Now it came to pass in the 13th year, in the 4th month, in the 5th day of the month, as I was among the captives by the river Chebar, that the heavens were opened, and I saw visions of God. In the 5th day of the month, which was the 5th year of King Jehoiachin's captivity, the word of the Lord came expressly unto Ezekiel the priest, the son of Buzi, in the land of the Chaldeans by the river Chebar, and the hand of the Lord was there upon him. And I looked, and behold, a whirlwind came out of the north, a great cloud, and a fire enfolding itself, and a brightness was about it, and out of the midst thereof, as the color of amber out of the midst of the fire. And out of the midst thereof came the likeness of 4 living creatures, and this was their appearance. They had the likeness of a man, and every one had 4 faces, and every one had 4 wings. And their feet were straight feet, and the sole of their feet was like the sole of a calf's foot, and they sparkled like the color of burnished brass. And they had the hands of a man under their wings on their 4 sides, and they 4 had their faces and their wings. Their wings were joined one to another. They turned not when they went. They went every one straight forward. As for the likeness of their faces, the 4 had the face of a man, the face of a lion on the right side, and they 4 had the face of an ox on the left side. They 4 also had the face of an eagle. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that you bless the reading of your word. Lord, help me as I preach this message. Lord, I pray, dear God, for our seniors. Once again, I sat up here and watched and thought, boy, a lot of memories. And Lord, getting to watch these kids grow up. And Lord, I pray, dear God, for each and every one of them. I pray this message be especially a blessing to them. But Lord, I pray, dear God, we'd all benefit from it. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. The message I'm going to preach, I preached last Sunday morning. There's not too many times a preacher will come to the pulpit of his church and say, the exact message I'm about to preach, I preached last Sunday morning. The difference was, when I preached it last Sunday morning, I preached it in Butte, Montana. And I haven't got a chance to meet our guest here, but when you came in with the cowboy hat, I very much felt like I was back in Butte, Montana. That was good. And Pastor Dirksen, Ron Dirksen, of course, senior pastor out there for over 35 years in Butte, Montana, 75 years old, stepping aside. Brother Lowen, who married our Rebecca Gordon, he's now the pastor of the church. And Brother Dirksen's going to plug right in and stay in the church there and work prison ministries and nursing homes and do a lot of the things he did before. People mentioned the word retirement a few times. I finally said, enough of this retirement stuff. I know this man. There's no retirement in him. He's just going to keep on serving the Lord. That's who he is. But I want you to listen to the message that I'm going to preach. When I preached this message, it was a message that very much, I think, exemplified and honored Brother Dirksen's life, but also presents to a new generation a challenge. We're losing some things in America, and some of us older men have to get up and say some things about it. I want to preach a message this morning entitled, Thank God for the Ox. Thank God for the Ox. In the first chapter of Ezekiel, the prophet encounters the likeness of 4 creatures who their appearances challenged Ezekiel's descriptive abilities and also challenges the limits of our imagination today. Their overall appearance was that as the likeness of a man. Their feet were straight, formed as calves' feet, and they sparkled like burnished brass. They had the hands of a man, yet the wings of an angel, and they moved always forward, each one joined to the other by the wings that propelled them. Now, the strangest thing about these creatures is not their overall appearance or their calves' feet or the color of their wings or their movement. The strangest thing about these creatures is that they had, listen to this, 4 faces instead of one. 4 faces instead of one. I'm talking about each one had 4 faces. One head, but 4 faces looking in 4 different directions. Now that in itself would be odd. But what made it most peculiar was that each face was completely different from the rest. One face was the face of a man. The others were the face of a lion, the face of an ox, and the face of an eagle. Four creatures, all who had one head each, but whose heads sported four faces, a man's face, a lion's face, an ox's face, and an eagle's face. Now we know, those of us that love and study the Bible, that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. So these creatures represent something, and the four faces of these creatures are there to teach us something. And so when you're not sure what it means, you go and you read commentaries. And then usually you're more confused when you get done. But I did pick up some good things from men that have studied this. These four faces have been interpreted many different ways. Some feel the four faces represent four distinct abilities or attributes. The face of a man stands for the potential of our human thoughts and meditations, man's intellect, if you'll let me put it that way. The face of the lion represents the potential of our power or courage. The face of the ox represents the potential of our service or strength. The face of the eagle speaks to the potential of the heights we can reach in our journey here on earth. The faces could also represent the top level hierarchy of life forms. Man, the king of the earth, dominion over the earth, lion, king of the animals, ox, king when it comes to the strength of the domestic animals, and the eagle, the king of the birds. One commentator wrote this: man was granted dominion over all creation, the lion, king of the wild beasts, the ox, strongest of our domestic animals, and the eagle, master of the sky. There is one head, yet four faces. And I think it would profit all of us to balance our God-given intellect with the courage of a lion, the strength of the ox, and the nobility of the eagle. But most of us were created with a natural inclination towards one of these more than a perfect balance of all four. Stay with me. Years ago, 2 or 3 years ago, me and Brother Dirksen had a conversation. I couldn't tell you where it happened or when. We've had a lot of conversations. But he brought up these creatures in Ezekiel chapter 1. He had gone to a preaching conference, and a preacher got up and presented these four creatures and said that each of these represents some qualities that we all ought to strive for, but that most of us have been created to relate to one more than the other. And so I'm listening to him talk about these creatures in Ezekiel chapter 1, wondering where is he going with this. And finally he looked at me and he said, "Brother Ross, I guess what I'm trying to say is this. I've figured out something. When I think of these four creatures," he said, "I am the ox. I am the ox." Now that arrested my attention. And I kept thinking to myself, what is he saying that I'm missing? And so given the four faces and what they represent, the first thing that kind of shocked me a little bit was that few men would see themselves as the ox. Most men would surely seek to find a kindred spirit with human intellect or the feline majesty or the freedom bird, but the ox, he looked at these four and said, "I think I'm the ox." It wouldn't be the one that probably most of us would choose. The pride of mankind would cause most to choose the face of a man. After all, you know what? That relates to human intellect, and we often overestimate our own mental capacities. Many men overestimate the level of their intelligence. Ladies, this is a good time for you to say amen right here. And some to the point where there's a few men like this. Every room they've ever walked into, they look around and fancy themselves the smartest man in the room. Those men seldom are what they imagine. If they were on the upper shelf of intellect, they would walk into a room, figure out who in the room knows something they don't, go over and strike up a conversation and strive to learn something. But the pride of mankind quickly wants to associate himself with the face of man or that of intellect. The ego of mankind would choose the face of a lion. After all, he's the king of the jungle. He's fearless, ferocious, powerful, and all these attributes are appealing to the ego of men today. The aspirations and dreams of mankind votes to be the eagle. We long to soar to great heights and to escape that which keeps others earthbound. The eagle represents freedom. And what man does not long to live his life free? But Pastor Dirksen told me in that conversation, I couldn't get away from it. He said, I don't choose the man's face or the lion or the eagle. I might have some of that in me, but if you were to pick one, I guess I'm the ox. In essence, he said this: if I had to evaluate myself, I do not associate with the deep intellectual musings of men, nor of the power and majesty of the lion, nor of the lofty heights of the eagle. No, of the four, I am the ox. That is who my Creator chose me to be. Now, that conversation got me thinking, and I did some meditating on that, thinking about it, and eventually it drove me to the study of the Bible. And I'll tell you this, I have studied in context every single place in the Bible where you find this animal, the ox or oxen, in the Bible. And after I spent that time studying, I pushed away from my desk and I said, Lord, make me the ox. Make me the ox. The title of my message today is Thank God for the Ox. Thank God for the Ox. Now, one of the things the Word of God helped me to overcome was my misconception of this marvelous creature. You see, there's God's assessment of something, then there's our assessment of something. Well, this is important that you hear what I'm saying right now. Just because we have an assessment of something, it's usually not the same as God's assessment. And we may look at an ox, and you know what? We may think of it in unflattering terms. The Bible helped me to see that what God sees when he views this amazing creation called the ox, it's much different than what mankind sees. And I think you'll look at the ox different after we preach this morning. First of all, preacher, what is God's assessment of the ox? Preacher, I'm not sure I'd want to be the ox. You know why? Because most of us, when we hear the word ox, we think of a little phrase that we've heard, and that is, that person is dumb as an ox. But the first thing that I found out was this is not a dumb creature. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Well, he's smart enough to know who his master is. In Isaiah chapter 1, we read, Oh, hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib, but Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider. He said, the ox knows his master. He knows who his owner is. You know what? You may think, well, he's just dumb as an ox. An ox is dumb. Well, he's smarter than a lot of people in America today. The world is full of a lot of so-called smart people. You can head down to the university and you'll meet a lot of educated people who in truth are not as smart as the ox. I mean, the ox knows there's a God. A lot of PhDs haven't figured that out. The ox knows it has a creator. A lot of college professors are still confused about that. The ox knows that God is its master, and sadly, an ever-growing number of even professing Christians seem to have forgotten that God is the one that owns them and he is to be the master of their life. God's assessment of the ox is this: my children, talking about the Israelites, have forgotten something that the ox and the donkey still understand. The ox at least knows who his master is. So when I began to study the ox, I saw he was smart enough to know who his master is. He was blessed enough to be on the master's clean animal list. Now, this is something you'll find back in the Old Testament law. God listed types of animals that were clean animals. They were acceptable to be eaten by mankind and acceptably to be brought as a sacrifice. And you know what, folks? The first bird on the bird list of the abominable birds is the eagle. So the eagle, in God's estimation, is not a clean animal. By description, the lion is not a clean animal. By the way, mankind was created one clean, but by our own choice, we became one of the unclean. If it were not for the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and God's salvation in our life, you know what? We would die and go to a devil's hell. That's what we deserve. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. But isn't it interesting that the eagle isn't on the clean list and the lion's not on the clean list and mankind, except for the shed blood of Jesus Christ, isn't on the clean list? But one of the things I found out about the ox is that he was blessed enough to be on the master's clean animal list. God divided his creation into clean animals and unclean animals. God's assessment was this: the ox is a clean beast. It is acceptable in the eyes of the Lord. Let me just stop here a minute and ask you a question. Are you blessed enough to be on the master's clean animal list? Have you ever been saved? Have you ever been born again? What lessons can we learn? Well, it's okay to think deep thoughts, but keep your mind clean. It's okay to perform great acts of courage, but keep your actions clean. It's okay to soar to lofty heights, but keep your motives clean. And I thought, wait a minute, I'm starting to change my view of this ox. He's smart enough to know who his master is. He's on his master's, blessed enough to be on his master's clean animal list. And then I'm going to just hit this, and then I'm going to read word for word what I have to say after this so I don't get myself in trouble. But it's something else I admired about the ox here. He's smart enough to know who his master is, blessed enough to be on his master's clean animal list, and he's impatient enough not to work well with donkeys. I told you I looked at every place the Bible said this. Deuteronomy 22:10, thou shalt not plow with an ox and an ass together. What do you think about that? This is where I'm going to read so that I can stay pastor of Blessed Old Baptist Church and not mess up and say something I shouldn't hear. But let me tell you about men. By the way, young men, be good for you to hear this. Let me tell you about men who are ox. Let me tell you about men who've been given the strength for work as well as the humility to labor long and hard. They tend to have little patience with donkeys. Men, real men, don't care to hear you bray all day. They have little patience with someone who needs to constantly bring attention to themselves. Real men have little patience with those who are more concerned about creating drama than they are plowing straight furrows. They won't put up with your stubbornness. And if you're being a donkey at some point, an ox very well might turn around and tell you so. And now I'm going to hasten on. Amen. God's assessment of the ox. And then I want to present to you this morning the message, God's purpose for the ox. Why did Pastor Dirksen say, preacher, of all of these four creatures, I think I'm the ox? Well, as I studied the ox in the Bible and realized why God created them, I began to elevate my estimation of this animal. Number one, God created the ox to plow the fields. God created the ox to plow the fields. Remember when Elijah came to find his replacement, Elisha? The Bible said that he found him plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him. The ox knows that part of his job is to plow the field. If the fallow ground's not broken up, it will never receive the sowing of the seed. And thank God for men like Pastor Dirksen. My dad, by the way, my dad was an ox. I'm not saying he didn't have some eagle in him, because he did. I'm not saying he didn't have some lion in him, because he did. I'm not saying he didn't have some good intellect in him, because he did. But you know what? For the most part, my dad was an ox. You know what he did? He came to Greene County and he just said, Lord, tie me to the plow. And he spent a lot of time plowing up the hard, rocky ground here in Greene County, Indiana. And my dad, you know what? If you looked at his furrows, they were straight and his plow dug deep. You know what? You may not think the ox is that big a deal, but a man won't pull a plow. A lion won't accept the yoke. An eagle has never turned a furrow or planted a crop. The work of preparing the ground falls to the ox. If you're going to be a soul winner, you better have a little bit of ox in you. If you're going to be a bus worker, you better have a little bit of ox in you. If you're going to like some of the folks in this room that's taught Sunday school for 25 plus years, you better have a little bit of ox in you. I'm so glad that I'm still involved in Vacation Bible School. I'll explain to our visitors, this is not the way our platform looks on a normal basis. This is Vacation Bible School starting tomorrow. But you know what, folks? I don't have to remember back when I used to be a part of Vacation Bible School. I've been part of Vacation Bible School since I was a kid. You know what that's called? It's called an ox mentality. Too many used to be's. Too many used to go's. You too many used to be involved. If you're going to reach people in this part of the country, you better be willing to hook up to the plow and stay with it all day long. Hosea wrote this, sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he comes. When a man measures his time in the ministry in decades, then he's done a lot of plowing. He also has hit a lot of rocks and busted up a few plows, but folks, that's just part of the ministry. The ox might have to stop and repair the equipment, but then he just goes back to plowing. While others attend conferences and idea days to figure out how to plant a crop without plowing, the ox just stays in the traces and pulls the plow. Preacher, why all the plowing? Because the seed needs to be planted. Because the seed needs to be planted. The ground has to be busted up so the seed can be planted. The ground needs to be prepared because the gospel must be preached. If you spend your lifetime plowing and planting, then you've signed up for a life of labor, but you've also signed up for a life of reaping. Thank God for the ox. Thank God for the ox. Lord, I want to be the ox. First of all, God created the ox to plow the fields. Number two, God created the ox for sacrifice. Please listen to what I'm about to say. In Exodus chapter 20, an altar of earth thou shalt make unto me, and shalt sacrifice thereon thy burnt offerings and thy peace offerings, thy sheep and thine oxen. In all places where I record my name, I will come unto thee and I will bless thee. Part of serving the Lord is being willing to sacrifice and be a sacrifice to the Lord. Romans 12:1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. This is not something the ox runs from, but something he embraces as an honor, as a privilege. He sees it as his reasonable service. Average American Christian is looking for an opportunity to serve the Lord and is willing to do almost anything as long as it does not cause them inconvenience or cost them anything. Most are seeking a title, but few are looking for a job. King David, a man after God's own heart, did not view his relationship with God this way. When he was offered an opportunity to sacrifice to the Lord at no personal sacrifice to himself, his reply was very pointed. Nay, but I will surely buy it of thee at a price. Neither will I offer burnt offerings unto the Lord my God of that which cost me nothing. I wonder today, have we forgotten how to live a life of sacrifice? Sacrifice, sacrifice. The oxen knows he was created to live and to be a sacrifice. I told this story not too long ago, maybe a year, year and a half ago in our church, but it's a story that I think represents what true sacrifice is. Story is told by a man about a man in a church that at one time was just a Sunday morning only attendee. You know what? He went from that to being full time, all the time in the church, went from robbing God, withholding tithes and offerings, to being the biggest giver in the church. Somebody asked him, what changed your life? He tells a story about how he came in on Sunday morning, not for Sunday school, but just Sunday morning, slipped in his place on the back row, and somehow a little 7-year-old bus kid had escaped, first time ever in church, got by somebody and ended up in the auditorium and came and plopped down beside the wealthy businessman, successful man, hardworking man. And he said, hey, mister, it's my first time in church. He said, is this your first time in church? He said, no, I come all the time. He said, well, he said, you might have to tell me what's going on because it's my first time. Then he said, hey, mister, I went to Sunday school. The man said, well, I had to think to myself, he did something I didn't do. I didn't go to Sunday school. And you know what they told me in Sunday school? They told me about Jesus. Hey, mister, I received Jesus as my Savior. Do you know that story? Yeah, I know that story. He died for us. And he said, so I decided I wanted to come to church and learn some more. And so he pestered the man with questions. Every time somebody would leave, song leader, come on, what are we doing? What are we doing? What are we doing? Finally, it came time for offering, and the ushers came forward. The little boy leaned up and said, what are they doing now? And he said, well, they're taking the offering. He said, what is that? Well, that's an opportunity for us to give back to the Lord from the generosity that he's given to us. And so the rich man opened his billfold and big wad of bills, and he fished through and picked out a $20 bill and held it in his hand. The little boy looked at that. He's poor, didn't have anything. So he finally reached in his pocket, and he had five. Now, some of you old-timers will understand what I'm saying when I say this. He had five of his prized cat-eye marbles. And he sat there and looked at those marbles. And finally, the ushers are making their way down to take the offering. He's on the back row, so he takes one of those and he puts the other four in his pocket. And the closer that the ushers got, he finally reached back in his pocket and he looked at that. And you could see he was really struggling. He took three of them and kept them in his hand, put two in his pocket. And Finally, the ushers were just a row or two away, and he shook his head like this, reached in, got all five of the marbles, and waited for that offering plate to come, gave them all like that. And that man sat there and watched this little boy do that. After the service, he leaned over and he said, "Son, you know you didn't have to give all five of the marbles." And he said, "Well, I thought about not doing that. But all I could think about is what they told me in Sunday school. And I mean, Jesus was willing to die for us. He gave everything. I just couldn't hold back my marbles." Now, I know Christians who have lost their marbles, but I know very few have been willing to give all of their marbles to Jesus. Have we forgotten what it means to sacrifice? Come on, folks. Is God just getting the leftovers of our life? But you know what? The ox was created to be a sacrifice. It should not be an unusual thing for us to understand that since God has given so much for us, why would we withhold our lives from him? Thank God for the ox. Thank God for the ox. So God created the ox for a sacrifice. I studied this and I found out this. Number three, God created the ox to bear heavy burdens. Stay with me. To bear these heavy burdens. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, "Take it of them that they may also be able to do service of the tabernacle of the congregation. Thou shalt give unto the Levites to every man according to his service." What did he give them? He gave them wagons and he gave them oxen. Why? To move heavy stuff, to be willing to bear some burdens. Psalms 144:14, that our oxen may be strong to labor. Matthew 16:24, boy, we need to be reminded of this. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me." Take up his cross and follow me. Jesus listed the three essential requirements for discipleship: a willing to deny yourself, willingness to carry a cross, a willingness to obediently follow. Where will we get the disciples of the next generation? If we raise our young people to be selfish and soft and stubborn, we eliminate tomorrow's servants of the Lord. You see, the ox doesn't mind bearing his cross. Stop complaining. Stop complaining. What's it going to take to make you quit? What's it going to take to make you quit? You know what the ox says? He says, "Well, you know what? I trust my master. He's not going to put more than I can carry. He's not going to put on the wagon more than I can pull. And you know what? My job's not to complain. My job's just to carry the burden, just to move the burden." Hey, let me encourage you young people. When you're faced with a hard task, a heavy cross that must be lifted, must be carried, you know what, you can put on your man face and waste the day thinking about how to get out of it, or you can put on your lion face and start roaring about how heavy it is. You can put on your eagle face and fly away, but when you land, it'll still be there waiting. Or you could put on your ox face, head right at it, reach down, pick it up, carry it to where it needs to go. When facing the difficult things of life, be the ox. I stopped in the message when I was in Butte and gave Brother Dirksen a little bit of a hard time. He made a lot of his money on the side moving houses. Well, I'll say to you what I said to him. I have never, ever looked at a house and had it enter my mind. It'd be a neat thing to move that house. I have never had that thought enter my mind. I've looked at a house and thought, you know, maybe they ought to paint it. Needs a new roof. But I've never looked at a house and said, "Hey, you know what? We ought to move that house from Jasonville to Lynn. We ought to just pick it up and move it." And that's what that man did. He picked up houses and moved it. And so he told me the story when we were out hunting about he would transport for a company these small portable cabins that the men would want to have set up in the mountains so that they could go hunting. Now, folks, I've been up in the mountains of Montana. I've been in that public land, private land. Some of those roads back there that you're talking about, I can't even hardly get through them in a pickup truck, and he's driving a semi with a big house on the back of it up those mountains, moving those cabins up there, those small pre-built cabins. He told me the story of one time trying to get to a place, the cabin needed to get taken up to the top of this mountain or near the top of this mountain. He came to a hairpin curve. And he couldn't get the truck around it. So he called a buddy in the area that had a track hoe, and he brought that track hoe around behind, hooked it on the back of that trailer, swung the trailer out over the side of the mountain so that he could get, and I just looked at him and said, are you kidding me? Who does this kind of thing? You know what? Maybe that's why he was able to carry the burdens of life that God asked him to carry. He's been here. He's given his testimony. But you know what, folks? He's had to carry his burdens. And guess what? Me and you have to carry our burdens. Mine aren't the same as his. His aren't the same as mine. But life has burdens. You know what? Sometimes you just got to put on your ox face. Okay? You can curl up in a ball and give up. Or you could just pick it up and carry it. So I looked at this ox and I thought, you know what? This is an animal God created to move the heavy burdens. God created the ox to bring his master much increase. Proverbs 14:4, where no oxen are, the crib is clean, but much increases by the strength of the ox. Much increases by the strength of the ox. The ox knows that his job is to bring his master much increase. His success is not measured by what he has at the end of his life, but by what increase the kingdom of God has profited. Paul said this in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We just studied it last Wednesday night. Who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom you believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither is he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. How do you provide God with increase? You spend every day doing some planting, doing some watering. The next day you do it again. The next day you do it again. You do that for 40 years in ministry, and you look around and guess what? God's given you some increase. So just be the ox. Just be the ox. The last thing I found when I studied this was God's tender care for the ox. You know, I kid about this verse, but Deuteronomy 25:4, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth the corn, out the corn. You know, God provides the ox with the reward of his labor. One of the things God says, don't you put a muzzle on that ox. He's the one doing the work. Let him benefit from the labors. God rewarded the ox with a day of rest. I read this in Exodus 23. We think the Sabbath day, or that the whole idea of working 6 days and resting one, is for our benefit alone. But in Exodus 23:12, it says, 6 days shalt thou do thy work, and on the seventh day thou shalt rest, that thine ox and thine ass may rest, and the son of thy handmaid and the stranger may be refreshed. You know what? Even God looks down at the ox and says, you know what? Time to the plow, and he'll work hard 6 days, but on that seventh day, you let him have a day to catch up. Can I say this to the people that are oxes in our church? Listen, from time to time, you need to rest. I didn't make up this formula. God made up this formula. He said you're to work 6 days and rest one. When we begin to ignore the principles of God's word, you know what? The Creator who made us, made our bodies, understand our bodies more than we understand it. And I'm all for work, and I'd rather a guy be more prone to work than prone to slothfulness. But you know what? Even an ox needs a day off once a week. That's what God's principle says. And then God, I noticed this. This is the last thing. Any time in the Bible where God in the Old Testament would want to list a man's most valuable possessions, you know, a list of things that proved that he was wealthy. For instance, in the book of Job, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. That man was perfect and upright, one that feared God and eschewed evil. And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camel and 500 yoke of oxen. How about that? You know, when a man in the Bible counted and listed his most valuable possessions, he always wrote down the ox. Now, I believe God has made different types of men for different missions. I think God values all his children, but I can't help but wonder if we were to ask God to list his treasures, I believe his oxen would be listed amongst the most valuable possessions. Jesus, when asked who was the greatest of all, he did not say the one who thought the deepest or the one who possessed the greatest power or the one who flew the highest. When Jesus was asked about greatness, he reminded us that the servant was greatest of all. Now, preacher, has God let you do some eagle things? Yeah, every once in a while I get to do some eagle things. Has he ever let you do some lion stuff? Yeah, every once in a while I get to do some lion stuff. Does God bless you to use that intellect? Yeah, I do some of that too. But let me read this. If God created you with the ability to think deep thoughts, then God bless you, but don't ever think that you're too smart to plow. If God created you to stand and roar out his word with kingly authority, then roar. But when you get done, hitch up to a wagon and move something heavy. God has given you wings as eagles, and at times he allows you to soar amongst the clouds, then fly, fly, fly high. But when you come back to earth, don't forget your purpose in life is not to see how high you can fly, but the main purpose in life is to bring the master much increase. Blessed Oak Baptist Church, I preached this not this way. Last week I preached this in honor of Brother Dirksen. This week I preached it in honor of the long-term, long-standing members of Blessed Oak Baptist Church that have just decided they're going to have an ox mentality. People sign up, people come, people go. But there's always going to be those ones that just stick by the stuff and pull the plow and do the job week in, week out, week in, week out. Thank God for the ox. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you would use this to be an encouragement to an older generation. And I look around at our church and I see a lot of gray heads, and I think of all of the years of service and sacrifice. Lord, they've plowed a lot of furrows and planted a lot of seed. And Lord, soon they'll be entering into their day of rest. And I can't help but think as I look around, seems like there's a lot of young people want to sign up for the Eagle Ministry. A lot of young people want to spend their life roaring like a lion. A lot of young people sure think higher of themselves intellectually than they have a right to. And I think to myself, how are we going to put out the crop, and how are we going to reap a harvest unless we have some young people that says, I'll be the ox. Preacher, I'll be the ox. I look at our nation and it needs an ox mentality. I look at the church, it needs an ox mentality. I look at family units and I say, Lord, we just need some men and some women and some children that'll just say, you know what, we weren't here, put here on earth. We weren't put here on earth to chase pleasure and sin. We were put here on earth to serve our master. And they'll just put themselves in the traces. They'll just pull the plow. They'll do the hard thing. They'll sacrifice. They'll bring God much increase with their life. Lord, I want to be the ox. I want to be the ox. Thank you for letting me do some eagle stuff, but Lord, I want to be the ox. Thank you, Lord, for allowing me to roar like a lion sometime, but Lord, I want to be an ox. Lord, thank you for giving me a sound mind. And Lord, I think from the study of the Bible, some wisdom. But Lord, help me just to remember that on your list of the most valuable possessions is the ox. Lord, help us to have an ox mentality. We pray in Jesus' name.